All right. So, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm the one sitting here.
Would you be so kind as to read? Okay, this is a psalm, which is firmly, firmly pre-Christian. Would you be so kind as to read the psalm at the beginning? Listeners, you cannot see the face that Alana is giving me right now. She hates the psalms.
It's the... The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the ways for his steps.
Psalm 85, 12, 13. I have no idea what it has to do with Halloween at all. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this is the disgruntled personage sitting across from me, who you can't see if you're watching this on YouTube, is the amazing, the incredible, the lovely, the brilliant Alana. Welcome back to the show, Alana.
Hi, thanks.
And that voice, of course, means that it is time to catch up once again with the Berenstain Bears holiday cookbook. And what is this month's or season's holiday?
This holiday is fall.
It is fall. Everyone's favorite holiday where you trick or treat, dress up in costumes, enjoy spooky skeletons and ghosts. Fall.
Or according to the picture on the fall festivities title page, you eat pumpkin pie?
You do eat pumpkin pie.
There's no
fall.
Recipe for pumpkin pie.
There's not. No, there is a recipe for pumpkin
not
pie
in, this chapter.
In the next chapter, but not in this one. So for those of you who have never listened to these, we've been going through the whole year. We've been going through the Berenstain Bears holiday cookbook, holiday by holiday, making not all the recipes, but a chunk of them, a good chunk of them. And then saying whether or not they work, whether or not the recipe as presented is functional, whether or not it's relevant to whatever they were doing.
If a child would eat it or not.
If a child could make it or not. And whether or not it relates at all to the Berenstain Bears, which I don't think any of the ones this season do.
Not so much.
So if you were to actually translate fall into a holiday that is appropriate, what would this holiday be?
Well, so there's this little, you know, four-sentence story that goes along with that quote that also doesn't have anything to do with the quote or fall. But anyway, I mean, I think what they're trying to say is that it's a harvest sort of festival, except like you said, the recipes are clearly, well, most of, they're either clearly for Halloween or have nothing to do with literally any season or holiday at all.
Like baked chicken?
Well, I thought we were going to go. Are we going
we'll
go
get
in
to
order,
the baked.
We...
We'll get to the baked chicken.
You're giving away the excitement.
What is the story, though, in the four or five sentences leading up to this?
They have a flyer about a fall festival at Bear Country School.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that makes sense. And they're celebrating good friends, sharing, and family togetherness, which includes a costume parade.
Yeah. So this is
family togetherness.
Your typical family fall festival featuring a costume parade.
And a potluck.
Yes.
And then this sounds like all those other books you've been doing in your recent weeks. I hope there's going to be candy and bobbing for apples, says Papa.
Now, I know for a fact the Berenstains always love Halloween. They have a million Halloween books. I've covered a couple this season. I can only assume that Halloween, the word Halloween was left out of this cookbook because this is a Zonderkids book.
Oh, I mean, it's definitely on purpose. But then the rest of that, like, story, if we want to call it a story, they say they're going to make food to share, and that's where they bring in, like, the chicken wings.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that makes sense if it's a school potluck.
Sure,
yes. And then they also say there's a sale to raise money to fill food baskets for the needy bears in the area. And they're going to go look for a recipe for that. And it doesn't quite make sense because raise money to fill food baskets. So you wouldn't be, I don't quite get it.
Yeah.
But there, I mean, it was nice. None of that makes any sense.
No.
Yeah.
And it has no bearing on what's to come.
Or the fresh pumpkin pies.
Open hands and open hearts and giving with good cheer. Help those in need know just how much they're cared for through the year. Again, I guess that's kind of Halloween-y. You give kids candy. and some of them are hungry. Shall we begin?
Yeah.
All right, let's begin. Fall festivities. What is the first just generic fall snack? Could just be
for the season of fall.
For the season of the fall.
Yep. Tricks and Treats trail mix, including candy corn. It's basically, in fact, the first ingredient is Chex trademarked cereal. Like, they don't even say, like, sometimes they'll try to, like, get around. They just say Chex.
Yep.
So anyway, it's basically Chex Mix, except unlike regular Chex Mix, you actually don't have to bake it or anything.
Right.
This is one, when you were just saying, like, is it one? A kid could definitely make this.
It's trail mix.
It's trail mix. Yeah. But what it is it's Chex Mix, pretzels, peanuts, or not, you know, nuts,
mm-hmm.
Dried fruit, you know, raisins or other, they say, and then chocolate chips, M&Ms, and candy corn. So a kid could assemble it. Like, it's definitely very kid-friendly. A kid would eat it.
A kid will eat it.
And I give this recipe a thumbs up because even though it's very, very simple, it's not actually a trail mix you can buy. Right? Like, if you buy Chex Mix, it's not going to look like this. Mm. And also, it's, again, it's no bake. You know, like, the real trail mix, you have to melt things and, you know, and that actually makes it slightly healthier.
It's easier than Chex Mix. You can definitely buy trail mixes with M&Ms and chocolate chips and stuff in them.
Right, but not also the cereal and
it's also
going to
be way more expensive than, like, per volume than this ends up being.
Yeah, so I actually thought this was a really good recipe.
Right, and the candy corn is what puts it over the top, if you like candy corn.
Well, and it makes it fall.
Yes, it does make it fall.
Tricks and treats. And it's like, compared to some of the other recipes we're going to get to, it's not super unhealthy, right?
Like, right. I mean, it's chocolate, which, you know, is like a superfood.
Right, but it's not like Puppy Chow, which is covered in sugar. Right.
And
I think this is a good one.
You can easily leave out any of these ingredients.
It's also not one of those weird arts and crafts recipes that has nothing to do with the food. Like, this is just a little kid could take some of everything and put it in a bowl
together.
And mix it up.
Yeah. How do you think ours ended up compared to what you see in the picture?
Extraordinarily the same, except where you kind of chose to, like, you did craisins.
I did craisins instead of raisins. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And my secret, instead of just a cup of my favorite nuts, I did a cup of mixed nuts for variety.
Mm.
All right. What's next in this generic fall rigmarole?
Candy corn punch.
Candy corn.
This is wild.
Punch.
It's not actually punch in any way. What it is orange soda. Like, it's just literally, it's orange soda.
Small can of soda.
And then similar to was last recipe, the 4th of July one, where you make special ice cubes for a drink. Similar to that, you make special ice cubes, which are orange juice with pineapple piece in it, which... Wasn't it like a Schoolhouse Rocker? There's something when I was like,
you're thinking of Time for Timer.
When there's like you can freeze
a popsicle and like
it's
a toothpick
like that,
in it. Yep.
Yeah. So this takes some prep because you have to do that ahead of time.
You have to make the, because without the frozen orange juice, it loses a little bit of its luster.
Well, it's basically soda, and then you put whipped cream on top of it, and then you add candy corn garnish. So it is a diabetic nightmare.
Yes.
And that's why I was comparing the Tricks and Treats, saying it's kind of sort of healthy, because this is absolutely
This is a dessert. And I'll say, though, that it's supposed to look like candy corn, which it kind of does. You got orange and white.
Oh, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's supposed to kind of look like candy corn.
It does, because that's a bright orange soda.
It's a bright orange soda. Yeah. I used the small, individual, little tiny cans of soda, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect yield. And I found that, you know, with orange soda and whipped cream together, it's pretty good.
It's like a creamsicle. And another one, obviously, a kid would eat.
Yes.
And a kid could make. You guys could make the ice cubes together the day before, and a kid could assemble it. And playing with the whipped cream thing, which is, you can tell, even in their picture, like, you can watch it melting, basically, in their picture. You can tell that that's not, like, whatever shaving cream or whatever they use for photos. Like, this is just the stuff out of the can. Like, kids love to play with that. So,
and Alana discovered a trick. If you want a special grown-up version of candy corn punch, what do you add to it?
Triple sec.
add a little triple sec, and suddenly you're on second base.
What?
Well, I don't know. I was trying to come up with this thing. It's your astronaut on the moon. I don't know. I can't.
It's a little less cloyingly sweet.
It's less cloyingly sweet. But it has
you know what's weird? Yeah. The ice cubes taste like sour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the orange juice compared to the whipped cream and soda, I'm not actually sure. They kind of sink to the bottom and don't, I don't understand.
And then like the pineapple's kind of still frozen when you get to it, so it's kind of chewy. Yeah.
It actually, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Figure it out. No. All right, what's next?
Creepy crawly pasta salad. This is a pasta salad.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to do some adapting. Well, you made it. I didn't make it. But
a little bit of
it calls
adapting.
For bacon and you used like vegan bako bits.
Bako bit, yeah.
Which actually tasted great.
Added a nice flavor to
it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that is supposed to make it fall is the fact that it has in it raw zucchini, every child's
favorite thing.
Vegetable.
Big pieces of zucchini.
And you're supposed to cut each round of zucchini so that it has a jack-o'-lantern face in the middle of it. And you got through one, and you're like, that's enough of that.
Now, it does say carefully carve jack-o'-lantern faces into some of the slices.
Okay.
And I do notice in the photo, not every slice has a jack-o'-lantern face, but
that's
yes.
True.
I carved one jack-o'-lantern face into a piece of zucchini and was like, that's it.
Yep.
That's enough. That took me a few minutes. I'm not doing this for every other piece.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pasta.
Yep. It is, I have to say, so it's a cup and a half of raw pasta, which is a weird, I've never measured pasta that way, but okay, that's fine.
Right.
And it's supposed to be three different kinds. I don't think anyone would want to deal with that.
I bought tri-color.
Yeah, I thought that made way more sense. So you've got a cup and a half of dry pasta, and then the recipe calls for 2 cups of shredded cheddar cheese. That's not okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, people of the audience, let me explain to you how much cheese that is when mixed with that much pasta.
Because you didn't even put it all in, right?
I stopped pouring it in at some point because literally all I could see was cheese.
Yeah. It was...
Now, it did add a nice flavor.
I think it's a typo and it's supposed to be half a cup. That's
I have no idea. But it's a lot of cheese.
It's a lot of cheese. But you know what? Then so basically you boil pasta. You're supposed to add some cherry tomatoes and mm-hmm. a zucchini and then the bacon bits or bacon and then shredded cheddar cheese and then an Italian dressing and then that's easy and it was
did we use Italian dressing?
Yeah, it was like balsamic.
We used some balsamic dressing. It was, I'm gonna be honest, it's a pretty good salad.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good salad.
Yeah, I mean obviously the ratios are off and the one close to child person in our house was like raw zucchini,
right? But she ate
and
it.
Actually I'm the only one who ate the tomatoes, so.
Right, because neither of us like grape tomatoes,
so basically it was pasta with Italian seasoning, bacon, and if you were doing the actual bacon and the cheese, this is not healthy anymore.
No. Also, we had a conversation about who this is for.
Yeah, because it's definitely not one the kid can make.
No, it's way too
like,
complex for a
was,
child to
like,
make.
Fine motor skills, like you could barely handle it. And I'm not, I don't think a kid would even eat it in spite of the pasta.
Like,
it,
the pasta's
too
fun.
Much weird stuff
it suggests
it.
There's a whole thing about how to dye pasta purple and green and orange, which.
Oh, I didn't even read that part.
Sure, but that's just so much work.
Wait, where does it say that?
It's at the end of it says, want to make this recipe even more fun? Try dyeing your pasta. So that might be something a kid can do.
Also, if you were going to actually follow the recipe, it says to take different types of pasta, but then the directions are to just boil them. That would not work.
Yeah.
Like depending on what you got, one would be overdone, one would
it
be underdone.
It says cavatappi, fusilli, rotini, and...
Yeah, I mean, those are all like, you know, chunky-ish, short-ish, but still, that's not setting you up for success.
Yes. Plus, then you serve this at a party for 5-year-olds, what's going to happen?
Well, and anyone can buy tricolor pasta, so I don't
Yeah,
know.
Which is like green and red anyway.
Yeah, that was a little weird. It was okay. I mean, it was dinner.
Yeah.
That part was nice.
It's certainly healthier than the soda pop. So what's next on our list?
Well, we didn't make this one. Oven roasted corn on the cob. And I don't know where Bear Country is, but we don't have any corn on the cob in Minneapolis.
Nothing that's fresh enough to like trust when you buy it. I mean,
and
they
this
do.
Is, this one says husks and silk removed. Like they really think you're getting corn
on
the
cob.
Cob.
Well,
yeah.
I could have bought 3 corns with the husks still on. They had them, but I didn't trust them. They were shrink wrapped, and you're just eating corn on the cob. But this is, yeah, this is almost like elotes. This is mayonnaise.
Oh, it's very much
chili powder
and Parmesan. But that's just because they didn't want to tell you to get a cheese that you wouldn't find
wouldn't be
in
able
a
to find.
Store.
Yeah. So I assume it's very good if you like chili powder and black pepper, because that's what it calls for seasoning wise.
But that was actually kind of cool.
That was the other thing, though. We're not a hot foods family. Like the chili powder would be unappreciated, much like the grape
mayonnaise
tomatoes.
For me would have been unappreciated.
So you wouldn't have been able to enjoy the mayonnaise, the chili powder, the black pepper. Yeah. It would have just been corn on the cob.
Or the fact that it was really, really not good corn.
Right. Yeah. So let the oven roasted corn on the cob go. The next recipe is
Papa's paw licking good chicken wings.
So Papa, they mentioned chicken wings in the opening narration.
Yep.
This says Papa in the title, so I guess that makes it Berenstain Bears related.
We kind of thought about doing this with like fake
chicken, but again, the cayenne pepper, the hot sauce, it's just...
This is a spicy chapter.
It felt, the spooky season. It felt like we would be making so many alterations to it that we wouldn't actually be making the recipe.
I do have to say, though, that this one has a nice seasonal picture of the kids playing in autumn leaves.
That it does.
Which is nice, because otherwise I don't know what this has to do with the season.
With the fall.
And the one before it, I forgot to mention, the corn on the cob, has a picture of many cobs of corn and then a bowl that is outside, like bigger than all of those put together of mayonnaise, I guess. But it is an original, like this has very, very few original drawings in it.
Think that's just a picture of mashed potatoes next to a bunch of corn on the cob.
From some other
From like a Thanksgiving
book
or
something. It's actually not.
Yeah,
that's good, because that would be like
that's a lot of mayonnaise.
Four jars
I don't think that's mayonnaise.
Yeah.
I think the theme here is simply yellow and orange, because the chicken wings are orange. So I think that's just what they're going
and then
for
the candy
here.
Corn?
But then the next recipe, good Lord, was it good?
Yeah, it was very good. Caramel apple nachos, which
nachos
is basically deconstructed. Caramel apples.
Yeah, this is
but it was good. This
is pretty fancy. It's like basically caramel apples, but like the way you want them to be.
You core and slice up the apples, and then you lay them out, like arrange them on a plate, and then you drizzle melted caramel over them, which was really nice, because usually you get like a mouthful of caramel and then you have a lot of just tart apple, and this was more of a mix. So this was really good. And then you're supposed to put sprinkles on it, which did make it look good. We didn't do it, except for Mitzi, who wanted to just put some. But I actually think that just took away from the... This tasted good, and I don't think sprinkles would have been
right. If you like caramel apples, but you're always like, yeah, but once you eat off the caramel, it's no fun. This is the answer to that problem, because you get... It's a better ratio.
It also made it... I mean, at least for a family where you're not so worried about, like, all getting your hands and stuff. It made it more of like a party food.
Yeah,
you know, and you could be like, I ate three slices and I'm done now, instead of like, what do I do with the rest of this half-eaten apple? So I thought it was really good. It's autumn-colored sprinkles, which are orange and black.
It's just Halloween sprinkles.
But a caramel apple is a fall thing.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But I would say, you know, you stick toothpicks in these, you could... And you spread them out a little bit more on a tray.
That's true.
You could easily make these an appetizer.
And it was easy to make, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's always messy to deal with caramel when you're cleaning
Caramel's
it
a little messy.
So this is one that if you had a little kid, you could do the slicing and the kid could do the arranging. And then together you could melt the caramel and the kid could do
You'd have to do the pouring for a little kid, because the caramel's hot. Like, you have to pour it when it's
really
hot.
Maybe that's where the sprinkles would come in.
Then the kid does
the
sprinkles.
This is like a kid would eat.
Yeah.
And again, not just a weird arts and crafts game.
Right.
It's a real recipe. So I liked this one. I thought it was creative, but also not like so unusual that a kid would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like raw zucchini. No.
Plus,
but this a kid would eat.
Caramel. Kids would love this.
Yeah, totally. And also kind of like that trail mix. I mean, obviously not healthy, but it's not like the worst thing in the world. You're still eating an apple.
Right.
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 It like compared to that soda.
The next recipe is healthy. The next and last
in the chapter is Wiggle and Jiggle Gelatin Bites. And I think I have to just like recuse myself, because I think Jell-O is gross and this did not help. This was super gross.
So Alana does not care for Jell-O. She's not a Jell-O eater. Willow. Mitzi loves Jell-O.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I had fun making this. It's essentially just...
One of them got chewy.
Some of them were chewy, but it's the Jell-O Jigglers recipe, essentially. I made two batches, and one had...
Oh, we should explain what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, go ahead.
So you make Jell-O Jigglers, but thin... Like, I haven't had them often, but I always think of them as a little taller than this was. Mm. I don't know if that's the recipe or just how you want to... And then you use... fall? I don't...
Themed
it just actually
cookie
says,
cutters.
It actually says Halloween themed.
Yeah.
It just says Halloween themed. Yeah. Yeah, so in the Jell-O, it says 2 to 3 ounce packages of Jell-O. We recommend green, yellow, or orange for an autumn look. And then it says themed cookie cutters, but in the directions, it just says... Use your Halloween cookie cutters. Like, it finally is like, the right. The ruse is gone.
You're, I mean, the photo is of moons, pumpkins, bats, and cats. And then they've added gummy worms.
And it's like
worms.
The typical, like, Halloween cat. Like,
yeah, they've added gummy worms to make it look spooky and ooky. And I'm like, yeah, this is for a Halloween party. This is what you would serve.
Yeah, which is cute. I mean,
No, it's a cute. This is something you can easily make with a kid.
Gross, but I can see where... It's a good recipe.
So I made two batches. One turned out great. One turned out...
Like with different colors. Yeah.
I think I may have messed up and added too little boiling water to the second batch. So they ended up a little tougher, which is what happens with Jigglers.
Step 3 of the direction says, fill your sink or bathtub with
that
warm water.
That really confused me. Filling a bathtub with...
Carefully dip the bottom of the pan in the water to loosen
in
the
Jell-O. I don't
understand. In your bathtub? What?
I was just like, I just put them on parchment. It wasn't that they stuck to the parchment that was the problem. It was that they stuck to themselves. The tough ones were harder to cut through because they had like a little skin on the bottom. But I mean, they were festive. They worked. We still got some of the
fridge.
I was
going to say, it's telling that because we didn't make everything all in one day. We would have keeled
died.
Over.
We would have died.
And... This was one of the earlier recipes, and there's still a lot left in the fridge, where the trail mix is the last thing you made, and it is long gone.
Is long gone. Well, yeah. I mean...
Well, all right.
The sodas went the same night.
Well, sure. Okay.
The sodas went like crazy.
But that's a one-serving thing.
That's a one-serving thing. Yeah. But, you know, little kids like Jell-O, and I think this is something that little kids would eat.
Yeah, I think it's a solid chapter. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
But in some ways, maybe one of the stronger chapters, a lot of the other chapters had this feel of like, was this written by a committee or by people who never talked to each other as they were putting it together? And this one, the only part that feels that way is the story. The story is the weirdest part. It's like 9 ideas in like half a page of text that don't link in any way. And then like busy pretending it's about something it's not about. But then once you get into the chapter, it's a good chapter.
Yeah,
We skipped most of, there were 3 real food recipes and we only made one of them. So we were eating a lot of...
Right. If you made the corn and the chicken and the pasta salad, that's a dinner. That's a good dinner.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And not
I mean,
a ton of work either.
Yeah, I don't know about the chicken. I didn't bother to read the steps. Yeah. It says cook for 45 minutes or until crispy.
Well,
and
what
like,
I don't know, because I don't ever make chicken, is like, I don't know if that was special in any way, that recipe.
Oh, right. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about barbecue sauce or hot sauce.
Or
it called for
chicken.
Barbecue, like, it called for spicy sauce or barbecue sauce, and I was like, I don't know, hot sauce or barbecue sauce. And I'm like, those are 2 very different things. A half a cup of hot sauce is a lot of hot sauce. A half a cup of hot sauce?
Yeah.
And a half a cup of melted butter? Yeah, I don't know anything about chicken, so. Now I'm tempted to try it with like, vegan chicken cutlets or something. I don't know, maybe for Thanksgiving. It looks like a lot of work.
I don't see where the hot sauce comes in.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say what
to... Is it for serving it with it, but they just don't say that?
I guess. I don't know anything about chicken. So yeah, it doesn't actually tell you when to add the hot sauce or the barbecue sauce. It's a flawed recipe. Papa knows. It's that thing where like Papa wrote the recipe down and then people tried to make it later and they're like, oh, Papa just wrote down. This isn't what he makes. He just wrote something down.
So we need someone who understands chicken to vet this recipe for us, because the steps are that you put the flour and cayenne pepper and garlic powder and salt in a bag, in a, like a Ziploc bag, and then you shake the chicken wings in it. That makes sense to me. And then you put the wings on a baking sheet and refrigerate for an hour. I'm going to assume that's a thing you do. Okay. But then you whisk. Oh, here it is. You whisk together the melted butter and hot sauce in a small bowl.
Or barbecue sauce.
But it doesn't say that in the actual text of the recipe.
Yeah, because I guess
and
for like...
And then you dip each wing into that mixture and put it on the baking sheet. And then you bake until the wings are no longer pink inside and are crispy on the outside about 45 minutes at 400 degrees. That seems like a long time.
I don't know anything about chicken wings, but I do know that chicken wings are traditionally pretty spicy. So
yeah, that part makes sense.
I guess that's the thing. I don't know.
Ooh, maybe there's like a Hot Ones version with Berenstain Bears.
Mike, put out a Berenstain Bears themed hot sauce. I would buy
You know, the one where they're eating the...
Yeah. Okay. But now I'm asking Mike to go full on and make a Berenstain Bears themed hot sauce.
For fall.
Yes, that is our trick or treat. It's fall chapter of the
You've been doing these Halloween books all month, and now that we're ready for the actual final, it's almost Halloween episode. It's like not Halloween.
It's not Halloween. It's not a Halloween book. I mean, everything's Halloween themed, but they can't say Halloween.
They did once.
They do once.
They got brave.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like when Willow transferred elementary schools and she went to a new school where the teachers were not allowed to say the word Halloween in school, but they would whisper it at the parents and then roll their eyes because they weren't allowed to mention Halloween in the school. So that's basically what this book is. But that's it. Our next chapter, we're giving glorious thanks.
Oh, with pumpkin pies, like in this chapter?
With pumpkin pies and funky guys. We're going to be covering Thanksgiving next. American Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Canadian Thanksgiving already happened.
Canadian Thanksgiving already happened. Sorry, Brian. For all you people who celebrate Thanksgiving, you're going to have to join us next time. For all you people who don't, I don't know, skip it. Or don't. I don't know. There's maybe some good recipes in here. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Alana,
yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me again.
My pleasure.
Yes, my pleasure to have you on. And for everyone else out there, thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.